In Eretz Yisrael, they say ze lo fair. Ze lo fair means it's not fair. Rabbi Dreyfus asked me to introduce our speaker today, and it's that's not fair, because our speaker today deserves someone much, much, much greater to be introduced by. Unfortunately, in a way, when we had moved down to Miami from New York, Rabbi Left had just left. So I missed the opportunity to have Rabbi Left as my Rav here. But unbeknownst to Rabbi Left, I spend a few hours with him every year. What does that mean? I spend a few hours with Rabbi Left every year. Because every summer on Tisha B'Av, I am tuned in as Rabbi Left is speaking in Eretz Yisrael. And that's how I spend my Tisha B'Avs every summer, tuning in and listening to Rabbi Left. Now, gentlemen, this is an absolutely incredible opportunity that we have to be in Rabbi Left's presence, number one, and to hear his words. I don't know of too many people in my life who I have been influenced by as much as I've been influenced by Rabbi Left. And also Zoche, to be a relative of Rabbi Left through the Krohn-Scheinemann connection. So it is my pleasure, Rabbi Isai, to give the kavod to Rabbi Left as we listen to him speak. Rabbi Left, please.
An honor and a pleasure to be here. First of all, it's a few years since I've returned to North Miami Beach, where I grew up. It wasn't only a Rav here. I grew up here and came back to be a Rav, so I have a very strong connection to this community. I don't know if the Yorubayim are aware, but the last thing I did before I left North Miami Beach for Eretz Yisrael 40 years ago was to have a hand in starting this institution. And also the Beis Yaakov. Those are the last two things that I helped to establish here in the community before I left. And it's a tremendous simcha to see when I was here, this building was a conservative temple. And Baruch Hashem, you were mekadesh it and mala it, and they put a lot of effort into it so you could have a place to learn Torah. In this week's Sedra, Chazal tell us that the Seder of Tefillah was finished. Avraham was mesaken shachris, Yitzchak Mincha, last week's Sedra, Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basode, and this week, Vayivka Bamokom Vayolinshom. Yaakov Avinu was Mesakin Mariv. Chazal, however, say that the Tfilos have two sources. One is Tfilos are connected the Ovos, and Tfilos are connected the Karbonos. I'll explain to you a little bit what both of these ideas of tefillah are, and the lemaisa we hold from both of them, that tefillah has an aspect from the avos, and tefillah has an aspect connected korbanos. And if you appreciate what tefillah is and what power you have, then the tefillah becomes a lot more enhanced and you take it not for granted as much as people usually do. There are dvarim ha'omdim berumo shel olam, v'anoshim mezalzelim bohem. So I thought it would be a good idea to speak a little bit about what tefillah is, so you can appreciate it a little bit more. Comes out there are two kinds of tefillah. There's tefillah that is like korbanos. What a kind of tefillah is that? The kitzur, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world, he created it that we should be his partners. The purpose of creation was that we should perfect, be mashlim, this creation, and be mashlim ourselves, and in that way, this world serves as a prozdor bifnei ha'olam haba. This is the place where you prepare yourself and create eternity, create olam haba. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created an unfinished potential world, and he expects us to finish it. There's a medrash. The medrash says that Turnus Rufus HaRasha once asked Rabbi Akiva the following question: what is better, what people make or what God makes? And he expected Rabbi Akiva, of course, to say what the Ribbono Shel Olam makes is better than what people make. And if Rabbi Akiva had answered that, Turnus Rufus would have attacked him with the following: then we Goyim are better than you Jews. You Jews are like a Moel made you, and we're like the Ribbono Shel Olam made us. So we're God made, you're people made. Rabbi Akiva surprised him, and he said, of course, what people make is better than what the Ribbono Shel Olam makes. Turnus Rufus said, how can you say such a thing? He said, very simply, you're going home to eat lunch. Your wife made bread and cake, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made wheat. Which is better? Obviously, the bread and the cake, better than the wheat. So you see, what people make is better than what the Ribbono Shel Olam makes. What's the idea? Like I said, the Ribbono Shel Olam created a world that we should perfect. We're his partners in creation. And he wants us to finish off that creation. Some say that's what it means. Asher bara Elokim la'asos. Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world in its potential state. La'asos, that human beings should then finish it off. And there are many ways that we can finish off and perfect this world. Torah is the main way, Limud HaTorah for sure. Mitzvahs, Midos Tovos. But one of the ways that we finish off and perfect what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to do in this world is through tefillah. Kodesh Baruch Hu created a tremendous mechanism through which he sends his influence to this world and all the good things that he wants to shower upon us, life and health and material possessions and spiritual possessions, everything. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showering this down through a mechanism that he created. But the mechanism needs to be fueled. What's the fuel? One of the sources of fuel to move that mechanism and bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shefa into the world is called tefillah. So when we daven, we initiate, we move that mechanism that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in order to bring tremendous influence and tremendous good into the world. And we have the power with our tefillah to move the heavens, to move all of the things that are necessary to set into motion, to bring all of that hashpah and that shefa into the world. In that respect, the Rishonim explained, the Nefesh HaChayim, in the name of the Rashba, that Baruch, when we say Baruch Ato Hashem, Baruch does not necessarily mean blessed. Baruch means tosefes veribui, to increase. It comes from the word brecha, a fountain, a spring. It's constantly increasing, increasing. We say, Baruch atah Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, you created many, many connections to this world through that mechanism that we call the Bria. We want through our tefillah, through our brachos, to increase and intensify that relationship. Make a bracha, motzi lechem min ha'aretz, means, Ribono Shel Olam, you created a relationship with this world where you bring bread from the ground. We want that relationship to be increased and intensified. With that, you can understand why Chazal say that if you eat without a bracha, you're a ganav. Because when you take something and you don't give anything in its place, you're stealing. But when you make a bracha, we are returning the spiritual power for bringing bread from the earth to, we're returning that to the world. So we are returning bread and taking bread. If you take and you don't return anything, you're a ganav. So that is one kind of tefillah. A tefillah which is dynamic, aggressive. You are creating very, very strong powers to bring whatever influence and shefa from the Ribono Shel Olam we want to bring into this world. That's one kind of tefillah. And that tefillah corresponds to the korbanos. That's what a korban was. A korban was where you brought the various aspects of the physical world, and with that you set into motion all the different spiritual powers which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to bring that Shefa into the world. That's what it says by Korbanos, Nachas Ruach, Shenas, Amarti, V'Nas Ritzoni. Not just that we fulfill God's will, that would be Shekiyamtem Ritzoni. Shenas Ritzoni means we make God's will. He's holding and waiting for us to be his partners. So by doing all these things, the korbanos and the tefillah, the makom korbanos, we are creating the Ribono Shel Olam's will, in his tremendous will to bring tremendous good, tremendous influence into this world. That is one kind of tefillah, and that corresponds to the korbanos. But there's another kind of tefillah, and that tefillah is connected to avos hakdoshim. Chazal say that the avos were merkava l'shchina. They were like a chariot that brought the Ribono Shel Olam's influence into this world. Meaning, the avos were totally bottle, totally negated themselves and subjugated themselves to the Ribono Shel Olam. And in that way, what they did represented completely who the Ribono Shel Olam was and what the Ribono Shel Olam wanted in this world. When you saw Avraham Avinu, you saw the chesed of the Ribono Shel Olam. When you saw Yitzchak Avinu, you saw the Gvur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you saw Yaakov Avinu, you saw Tiferes, Emes, Torah. So the Avos represented total subordination and total subjugation to the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the second kind of tefillah. Tefillah not where we're dynamic and aggressive and we're creating powers, just the opposite. We are totally subduing and submitting ourselves to the Ribono Shel Olam and telling him the following, a different idea of a bracha. I think perhaps the word bracha can come from the word berech, your knee. When we say a bracha, we bend our knees. Why? To show that we don't have a leg to stand on. Ribono Shel Olam, I have no support in myself. I can't support myself. I can't make my heart beat even. Beats by itself because you, Ribono Shel Olam, wants it to beat. So when we make a bracha, we say, Baruch, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't have a leg to stand on. Ata, it's you, not me. Now you would expect, when we say Shem Hashem, we should fall flat on our faces. It's not me, I don't have a leg to stand on. But just the opposite. Ribono Shel Olam, with you, Hashem Zokei Kefufin. With you, I have plenty to stand on. With you, I have tremendous amount that I can do. Without you, I'm nothing. So tefillah is a statement of dependence on the Ribono Shel Olam. When we say a bakasha, it's not so much a bakasha. It's not we're asking Rifa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafei, God heal me. No. Rifa'enu Hashem b'nei Rafei. I admit that if you don't heal me, Ribono Shel Olam, I won't be healed. There's no way for me to do it. I need you. That kind of tefillah is a tefillah of hisbatlus, a tefillah of subjugation and subduing ourselves totally to the Ribono Shel Olam. That's a more passive kind of tefillah. the Achronim, both the Brisker Rav, the Meshech Chochma, a little bit different than I'm going to tell you, but same idea. They both point out that Yaakov Avinu said that when he took the city of Shechem, he did it b'charbi uvekashti, with my sword and my bow and arrow. And the Targum Unkelus is metargein b'tzlusi uva'usi, with my tefillah. But two kinds of tefillah. There's a kind of tefillah that's called tzlusi, and the kind of tefillah that's called ba'usi. Basically what I told you, these two kinds of tefillah, the one that's keneged karbonos, the dynamic, powerful tefillah, that I have the power to manipulate all the forces in the heavens to bring tremendous bracha into this world. And bracha is like a spring, like a fountain that constantly increases. And the second kind of tefillah where I admit, Rabbanu Shalom, I have no power at all without you. It's only you that give me the ability to function. I need you. Those two kinds of tefillah, the one keneged karbonos, the dynamic, powerful tefillah, and the tefillah of subjugation and admission that I can't do anything without you, Rabbanu Shalom, which is keneged the avos, that's represented by charbi the kashti, a sword and a bow and arrow. And they explain, a sword has intrinsic power. If you cut somebody with a sword, you don't have to put too much power into it. The sword itself is sharp. It cuts. That's the kind of tefillah where the tefillah itself is a power. You open up and manipulate and initiate the powers of heaven. And there, the words are very important. And the right time is important. Because it's the words themselves that the Anshei Knesset HaGdola knew opened these doors in heaven. It's like in the Arabian Nights, when they wanted to open the cave, they said, open sesame. You had to say the right words at the right time, in the right intonation, and then the cave opened. Today they have something like that. In banks, in order to open the safe, they program the lock on the safe with somebody from the bank's oral command. He has to say it at 10 o'clock in the morning. It has to be so-and-so who says it. He has to say certain words in a certain intonation, and those sound waves are programmed to open the safe. If he says different words, if he doesn't say it at the right time, he doesn't say it the right way, it's not going to open. That's tefillah. Tefillah, just the words themselves. Chazal knew they are the keys to open the doors in heaven and bring all of that influence into this world. So that's like harbi, that's like a sword. It has intrinsic power, intrinsic value. But a bow and arrow has no intrinsic power. You can't hurt somebody with an arrow if you hit him with the arrow with your hand. How does a bow and arrow work? The more that you pull the bowstring back and put potential energy, you get more kinetic energy, you get more, the arrow goes farther and it hits the target with a greater speed and a greater impact. That's a second kind of tefillah. The tefillah where we're not causing results, but we're saying, Rabbanu Shalom, I can't do it on my own. There, the words are not the main thing. The kavana is the main thing. The Ger Rebbe says, the farther you pull the bowstring back and the closer it goes to your heart, the farther the arrow goes. There the kavana of tefillah is the main thing. According to the first concept of tefillah, the words are the main thing. And according to the second, the kavana. And since both ideas are there, both are important. Both the words and the kavana are very important in tefillah. So I think I've given you a little bit of an understanding of how important tefillah is, what power you have. You have tremendous weapons. You have a cherev and a keshes. Use them properly. Daven in the right time, and daven with the right words, and daven with the right kavana. And you have the power, all of us have the power, to both manipulate the forces of heaven and also to make us closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, because if we tell him that we need him, he's going to kick in and be able to do what we need. If we think we can do it on ourselves, so he tells us, fine, do it on yourself. I think you can do it. So the Hispalel, Reb Shamshon Feuerl Hirsch says, is reflexive. We're not changing the Ribono Shel Olam's mind when we daven. We're changing ourselves. We're using the powers the Ribono Shel Olam gave us, and he wants us to be his partner. We're using those powers to bring the influence of Hashem in the world, and everybody needs bracha and hatzlacha and gashmias and ruchnias. You want to learn better, you have to daven. To want, you don't want, nothing's going to be. And in gashmias for sure, people need refuos and people need yeshuos. Comes, partially at least, a good portion, from our davenings. You have a tremendous power to bring good into this world for yourself and for Klal Yisrael and for the whole world. And you have a tremendous ability to connect yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam, to subjugate yourself to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that makes you a different person. The person who didn't deserve that shefa 2 minutes before is now a different person, deserves it now. So understand what kind of power you have when you're daven, and use it. And use it for your own sake, for your family's sake, for your friends and neighbors' sake, for Klal Yisrael's sake, and for the whole world's sake. And in that schus, everybody will daven the way that they should. And you, Yeshiva Bochrim, will learn the way you should. Ki yitnu bagoyim ato akabtzein, that will help to bring Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mheirav yomei.